Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act with outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Well, thank you, Karen, for bringing us God's word today. Well, a number of years ago, my family and I took a trip up to Queensland where we caught a cruise from Brisbane to New Caledonia. And it was a great trip, needless to say, one that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And we actually drove up to Brisbane to take this cruise. And on our way back, on our way home, when we were driving home, we stopped into Port Macquarie, or a town not far away from Port Macquarie, to grab some lunch. And so we parked our car, we got out of the car, we went into this local cafe where we ordered our lunch, and I myself ordered a meat pie and chips. I was so hungry that as this meat pie and chips came out, I dug straight in. But before I did, I poured some salt onto it to enjoy the taste of this great looking meal of meat pie and chips. But a few mouthfuls in, I realized something just wasn't right. And I thought it was just one of those things that you just have to get used to, a new taste. So I kept eating. But after a while, I started to feel sick. And just before I went up to the counter to say how bad this meat pie and chips were, I realized what I'd done. Instead of pouring salt onto my meat pie and chips, I had poured sugar onto my meat pie and chips. And needless to say, I felt like being sick there and then. The taste was so bad. Needless to say, I didn't finish my meal and I couldn't eat anything after that. In fact, I had to sleep in the car as we continued on our journey just to stop myself from bringing it up and feeling sick. But even when I woke up, this taste of sugary chips and meat pie in my mouth stayed with me for a very long time. It was not pleasant at all. Well, when it comes to sharing our faith with others, or when it comes to having conversations with those who do not know Jesus in general, what kind of taste are we leaving in their mouths? What is the aroma that is resonating from our lives? Is it a pleasant one, such as it would have been had I actually put salt instead of sugar on that meat pie and chips? Or is it an unpleasant one? What taste are we leaving with them? Well, the question we are asking ourselves today as we continue in our series Plan A, the Great Commission for every Christian, is how can we have conversations that lead people wanting to know and hear more about Jesus? How can we have conversations that lead to people wanting to know and hear more about Jesus Christ? Ultimately, we need to learn to have conversations where we sow seeds of faith. But why? I think it's helpful to stop and to pause for a moment and remind ourselves why, in fact, we are doing this. And ask ourselves, what is the point? Because first and foremost, today we need to realize that this isn't about recruiting members into our church, as it were. It's not about building a bigger, better church. The reason we do this is because first and foremost, primarily, we are called and commissioned to do so. Particularly in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, as we looked at a few weeks back. But it is also our ultimate mission, our purpose, our ultimate identity, which, as missiologist David Bosch puts it, is to alert everyone everywhere to the universal reign of God through Christ. This means that we ought to understand ourselves as Christ's sent ones. Again, John 20:21 says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Again, 2021 for San Susie Baptist Church has been all about us understanding these incredible words by Jesus in John 20:21 as we have continued on this discipleship journey. This has been the focus for us this year as a church. For what we see is that Jesus has sent us into the world to be his very hands and feet, ultimately to be his light, and ultimately so that we can impart the kingdom of God into people's lives, so that their lives are changed and transformed, just as ours has been as well. No, our prerogative is not to build Christ's church. Again, as we said last week, that is Jesus's domain. Our goal and our mission, our purpose, is again to be used by him, to be used by Jesus, to ensure that lives are changed and transformed in his name, alerting them to the universal reign of God through Christ. And we do this, how do we do this? We do it by both announcement and demonstration through our words and our actions. And this cannot be done first and foremost if we are not growing as disciples of Jesus, and if we are not ultimately growing to know others by building relationship with them, as we looked at in our first 2 weeks of this series. Mike Frost says that God's mission, which is also our mission, God's mission is not concerned with church growth. It is primarily concerned with the reign and the rule of the triune God. If the church grows as a result, so an evangelism can never be boiled down to simply giving people information about how they can go to heaven when they die. Instead, we need to ask God for the heart and the desire to see people's lives changed and transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we will not be able to do any of this if that is not our heart's desire. So this is why we do it, or why we should do it. And again, this series is all about us understanding these strategies and these principles in order that we can get better at sharing Jesus with others, better at living out our calling, our mission, and our purpose. And one such man who knew this and sought to live it out in his life was the Apostle Paul, a man whose heart was definitely to proclaim the gospel at every opportunity he had. In this passage of Colossians 4:2-6, we see him calling us to employ another of those principles and strategies, and that is, again, to sow seeds of faith in people's lives. So often we think that when we share the gospel with others that it needs to be all or nothing. We think that we need to convert them, as it were, there and then. Remember again that conversion is God's domain. Winning people for Christ is his domain. He is the only one that can transform lives. Again, we need to be simply used by him to be a light in their lives. But when we look at Paul's instructions here to the church and in this passage of scripture, we see that he instructs them to have conversations, not to give presentations. So from this passage this morning, we're going to learn 3 things about how we can have these conversations and how we can plant seeds of faith in people's lives as we have them. First and foremost today, 1, we are to speak to God. 2, we are to let our lives speak. And 3, we are to let them speak. So the first conversation that Paul encourages us or wants us to have as believers, as followers of Jesus, is the conversation that we have with God. Prayer should be the forefront of any evangelistic activity, amen? In verse 2, Paul exhorts the Colossians to devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful and pray for us too. Paul is writing to people who are working and living in the city, and he writes to them in particular about how they can be witnesses in their neighborhoods, in their cities. But the most important thing of all for Paul is prayer. Prayer is to be paramount. It is integral in this process. And so the question we have today is, why does he start here? And 2, what does devotion to prayer look like in this context? Well, I want to encourage each and every one of us to discuss and to think about it, what this may look like, and to write your answers into the chat as you feel led, as we discuss this together. So again, have a chat with the person next to you, or have a think about what this may look like, and write your answers in the chat as you feel led. Why does Paul start here with prayer? And what does devotion to prayer look like in this context? Have a couple of minutes to discuss that, and then we'll come back. Well, thank you to those who responded. And let me answer those questions with a story. And a story about a family friend of ours whose son, their eldest son, walked away from God in his late teenage years. And I remember having this conversation with his mother many, many times about and how she was praying for her eldest son to come back to faith. And she was praying that he would come back to place his faith in the Lord God Almighty once again. And over many years of having these conversations with her, with this family friend of ours, this son eventually came to marry a Christian woman. And over time, God did a work in his life to the point when I was speaking to this family friend again one day, she told me with tears in her eyes and joy in her heart that her eldest son had given his life back to God once again. So this is an example of why Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Speak to God. Bring those people in your life who do not know him to God in prayer. Bring those conversations to him that you will have with them to God in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. And ultimately pray that God would open doors for you and I to speak about Jesus Christ in those whose lives need it most. Not only this, but pray that each of us, one another, might have the opportunity to do so as well. This is what Paul says in verse 3. Not only does he call on them to devote themselves to prayer, but he asks them that he may also have the opportunity to share and proclaim the mystery of Christ and the gospel openly or clearly or boldly. But this is something Paul sees as a necessity, something that he himself has been commissioned by God to go about in his life, something that he's been commissioned by God and something that has been given to him. It's a fire within him, a fire that God himself has put within Paul's life. And the question for each and every one of us today is that same passion, that same desire and fire burn within you? Does it resonate in you and I? Because it must be said that we cannot live this out effectively. We cannot live it out at all if there is no fire within us to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ in our lives. Is the fire to share Christ burning within you? Again, it is only something that Christ himself can impart within us as we come before him in prayer. First and foremost, we need to speak to God in prayer, but we also need to allow our lives to speak, and not only speak, but resonate with the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. After prayer, next, Paul is concerned with how the Colossians relate to those who do not know Jesus, those who are outsiders, basically. And this ties into the first two principles that we have already looked at, growing and knowing, which we've already covered once again. But it's important to note that, again, our conversations don't happen in isolation. They happen when we make the effort to be genuine disciples of Jesus who genuinely relate to people in our city and in our neighborhoods. Because the reality is we can't always speak about Jesus, but we can always let our lives speak. Again, which goes back to the quotes that we looked at earlier by David Bosch and Mike Frost, that we are to alert everyone everywhere to the universal reign of God through Christ. First, by proclamation, what we say, our words, and then by demonstration, what we do, ultimately our actions. But both of these need to be in alignment with the kingdom of God. That is beauty, reconciliation, wholeness. These are the kind of attributes that need to resonate from our lives. Earlier on in the book of Colossians, prior to placing their faith in Jesus, the Colossians obviously lived lives contrary to the will of God. They walked separately to God, turned their backs on him. But then Paul calls on them, because they have now received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he calls on them to now walk in him in a manner worthy of Christ. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And this means conducting themselves with wisdom in relation to dealing with non-Christians, which is the wisdom that is only found in Jesus Christ. In verse 2, if we go back, he says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ." And this is key. Verse 3 says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Again, Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Ultimately, Paul's aim is to encourage all of us not to ruin the opportunities we might have, that God may open, or the doors that God may open to us, to share the gospel by acting unwisely or ungodly with those who do not know Jesus. And so the question remains, how can you and I make the most of the opportunity that we have to live alongside people that do not know Jesus yet? I want to encourage us once again to reflect on this question, but also, what are some of the areas of our lives that may need to be addressed so that we are walking in a manner worthy of Christ? In order for our light to shine brightly, what are some of the areas of our life that we may not be walking in unison with Christ in? I encourage you to reflect on these two questions, to reflect, and then we'll come back in just a moment. So first of all, speak to God, devote ourselves to prayer. Secondly, let our lives speak. And thirdly, let them speak, those who we are seeking to share the good news of Jesus with. But if we go back to that story I shared earlier about the sugar and chips scenario, obviously salt would have been better, amen? Salt would have tasted a lot nicer and would have tasted a lot better on my chips and meat pie than sugar. But there is such a thing as too much salt, isn't there? Have a think about those meals that you may have prepared or that you may have eaten at restaurants that have had way too much salt. My guess is that after a few mouthfuls of that meal, it went straight into the bin. Well, while Paul calls us to have conversations, they need to be conversations that do not come across as I'm right and you're wrong, or you're going to hell and I'm not. This isn't the way in which we win a person to Jesus or see their lives transformed in Jesus' name. Instead, Paul says that we need to ensure that our conversations are what? That they are full of grace and seasoned with salt. Not saturated with salt, but seasoned with salt. Just enough so that they become curious and want to know and hear more about Jesus Christ in their lives. If the Colossians could facilitate opportunities to share Christ with others by the way in which they lived, by letting their lives speak and walking wisely with Christ, then obviously they could promote the gospel message of Jesus Christ by speaking graciously to those who do not know him as well. And this means that we realize that, hey, I was once a sinner too. I don't have it all together. I'm no better than the person I'm trying to share this good news with. Ultimately, I have been saved by grace, and I want to pass on this gracefulness to others as well. Our conversations ought not to be boring and lifeless about Jesus, but exciting and life-giving, but nor should they be too salty as well, but seasoned and sprinkled, if you will, with the appropriate amount of salt. Again, so that they get a taste and want to come back for more. They're not bombarded, they're not overwhelmed. They're getting snippets of love, snippets of life, snippets of grace. And that is just resonating in their lives. Again, we'll come to discuss more of what this looks like in our discipleship group on Tuesday nights. And we encourage you to join us this coming Tuesday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. We will dive again into this context a little deeper. But again, something that can help us have these gracious conversations, these humble conversations, ultimately ensuring that they are seasoned with salt, is the art or the skill of listening. And again, this is something that we've only spoken about recently in our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series. And we encourage you to go back to that message that we spoke about a few weeks back about the skill or the emotionally healthy skill of listening incarnationally. But not only is this skill important for dealing with conflict, it's also imperative in sharing the gospel with others. Because we need to let others speak. Because this shows first and foremost that we care, but it also allows us to get to know these people better and their life story better so that we can connect the story of Jesus to where they are ultimately coming from. If we listen to people, then they will become willing to listen to us. Hear me say that again. If we listen to people, then they will be willing to listen to us. But if we speak over them, if we put them down, if we do the opposite of what Paul is saying here, then we're not going to get anywhere with them. So we need to, first of all, practice active listening skills, which means make eye contact with them when you're talking to them. Don't be distracted. When it's your turn to speak to them, don't take over the conversation. Pass it back to the other person with a question. And most importantly, trust God is working and you will get to say as much as God wants you to say in that moment. If people are interested, they will pass the conversation back. And for me, in those moments, I'll throw up a little prayer as that person speaks. I'll throw a prayer up to God and pray for the wisdom and the grace to respond. For the reality is, people are willing to have spiritual conversations with us and with people who are willing to listen to them without judgment. And so this week, in the conversations you might have and I might have with our neighbors, with our work colleagues, with any person that God may put in our lives, may we make the effort to first and foremost speak to God. Bring this person to him in prayer and pray for one another that other opportunities would open up to share Christ as well. Then let your life speak, and hopefully that's been harvested over a long period of time. And then finally let them speak. And then from there, let's see what happens. Amen. And may whatever you feel led to say in those moments, may they ultimately provide opportunities for you and I to sow seeds of faith in these people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I encourage us now, as we come now to this time of prayer, to bring these prayer requests to God, to practice this skill, this strategy of speaking to Him now. Pray for those people in your life that don't know Him, and pray that you may have the boldness, the courage to speak into their lives this week and to live everything we've spoken about today out in your life. So I encourage you to spend some time in prayer now, but also pray into the other prayer requests that will come up onto your screen right now.